Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
I don't know about you, but some people just aren't real big on series. I love series. That we're in the middle of and that we're doing. And then if you miss one, you can figure out which one it is and go back on podcast and find it. Tonight, I am on part six of Sermon on the Mount. And each one of them online will have its own title that goes along with it. So it'll be some of what I'm talking about. But you've got to know in this series, God's teaching us something. And He's going to teach. And our job as a student is to learn. I mean, we're here to learn what God is teaching. Now, I am thrilled to be an under-shepherd of the shepherd and to share all that I can that the shepherd has told us. And I love that he, on the Sermon on the Mount, told us how to live a blessed life. It is possible to live a blessed life. And so the Sermon on the Mount could be called the Constitution of the Kingdom. I want to keep referring to that. Here's how you can do this. If you'll follow these guidelines, this will help you in understanding. It's not talking about the way to be saved. It's talking about how the saved should live. Now, chapter 5, Jesus started teaching what true righteousness looks like. What does it look like to be in right standing? I love that last song we just did. This is the kingdom. This is the kingdom. Blessed are, blessed are, blessed are, blessed are. Blessed are who? Those that do what the Bible says, for they will have a reward or a blessing. That's the Beatitudes. Then the series of short proverbs in chapter 5 of how God's people will and continue to live blessed. Now, he also taught, and we've already talked about this, God's laws are good, and Jesus came to fulfill them. Fulfill them. Now, I'm not going to reteach all that. I'm just saying that's where we've been. And now we're moving into Matthew 6. And Jesus begins in Matthew 6 to change gears. So we're heading into a new gear here. If the Jewish culture thought they could do everything that Jesus was talking about in Matthew 5, there was a danger. As they started thinking about all that had been taught, the thought for a Jewish culture, someone in the Jewish culture, could begin to turn into, well, great. If I can look like that, if I can do that and start getting all those things in me, I'm going to be looking pretty good to the culture. And so Jesus already knew what they were thinking. All right, I'm going to do all this stuff so I can start looking pretty good to everybody that's seeing me. And he addresses it right off the bat here as he changed gears in Matthew 6. Even in society today, though, we have to understand this isn't a new concept. We're oftentimes more concerned with what is seen than what is real. Yeah. Think about that statement. We're concerned of what somebody's going to see over what's real. We're concerned about the outward. The thought is, as long as we look like the real deal, it's okay. And I have had people call me and they're having trouble in marriage or with kids or something going on. And I have read their Facebook and I never saw any of that. Because Facebook's a highlight reel. It's not the real thing. Life tends to be, especially in a very media-enriched world that we live in, we have sometimes a hard time in being real. What's really going on? And I'm not saying you do what some people do on Facebook and you don't have a doubt what's going on in their lives. So don't jump into that ditch. But we got to be careful not to do just good works for the wrong reasons. And I hope this will answer some questions tonight. See, it's possible to do the right thing with the wrong reason. We want people to believe what oftentimes we're doing better than we actually are because it's kind of scary to be transparent when you're a Christian. It's kind of concerning to be real when you're a Christian. All right, let me just tell you what's really going on. And then we get this thought, well, shouldn't we shine so that people can see the good things we're doing? I mean, shouldn't we? Well, let's read this passage, and we're going to dive in tonight. Matthew 6, verse 1. Jesus' first two words are very, very straightforward. Watch out. Watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. Now, we're going to talk about this, but you got to get, God is the rewarder. God is the one who gives the reward. What we've got to know is who is to be glorified by your acts of doing good, or by your act of charity, or your act of giving, whatever the giving was. Everything is only to be done for the glory of the Father. Now, we could just stop right there and, okay, that's the point. But I'm a preacher and I'm going to preach. So, I'm going to preach and teach here because there's so much that we can really draw from this. When we live the way God has called us to, we begin to supernaturally shine. When you do what we've been studying for the last 5 weeks out of Matthew chapter 5, and what we've been studying all year as Christian Ministries Church, seek the kingdom of God, live the kingdom. Here's what we got to be very careful about. As we're aiming at the kingdom, you can't miss the king. And I just want to be really, really transparent and careful that we don't just teach a kingdom principle and not teach a king principle. It's very important. It's very important we understand this. Kingdom principles work. They just do. They work. And when you start living by these, they work. And this is the way God designed it to work. That's the kingdom principles. But it's dangerous because as you live this out, you'll be living according to kingdom principles, and you can get so caught up on living by the principles that you lose the relationship with the king. Well, I'm doing what the king said, so I've got to have a relationship. No. The reward is not just the blessing that surrounds you or the blessings even that you'll get when this life is over. The blessing is Jesus. Can I just say that we get Jesus? We get what the Father gave us. And if we're not careful, we'll study everything about the kingdom. And all year we've studied all about the kingdom and we're no closer in a relationship with Jesus. The Father gave us the Son, gave us the Spirit, and our youth are studying about the Holy Spirit. Why? Because I think that oftentimes we forget that He is the reward. He is the reward. Now we see in the Beatitudes and everything, if you'll do this, this is what it results in. I get all of that, and I'm appreciative of that. But as a Christian, you need to know that there are rewards. Praise God for them. I'm happy to live in some of the rewards. But don't live in the rewards without the relationship. Now, I'm going to talk more about this, but as a Christian, you will be rewarded when you start living by kingdom principles. As a Christian, you will be persecuted by living by kingdom principles. There's a big one like, yeah, that's awesome. But you're going to get both. Michelle and I were talking just in the vehicle about this exact sermon. Here's the thing. Doing the right thing, praise God, we talk about this, do the right thing and you'll be blessed. But we don't talk a lot about do the right thing and you'll be persecuted. But I can tell you, you do the right thing and persecution comes to Christians. Well, wait, what about rewards? I'm all about the rewards. I'm not really about the persecution. I'm not big on that one. So I don't even want to talk about it. But the fact is, you'll live blessed as a Christian, and you will live persecuted. So what happens oftentimes is Christians, they sign up for Christianity, they start getting some of these kingdom principles, start living by some of the Beatitudes, and they start watching blessings come. And then the blessings are coming in, and we're like, yeah, let me just tell you how good God is. And we get up and brag on him on a Sunday morning. And it was just awesome. But what we don't get up and we don't give a testimony about, let me just tell you what happened. I was trying to stand on the Word of God this week, and I got fired. Well, that'd be persecution. And what we do when we get persecuted, we're like, wait, I was doing the Beatitudes. I was living by Proverbs. Well, Proverbs aren't promises, they're principles. Yeah. Now, I'm not even going there right now, but what I'm telling you is you're going to get all messed up when you're living on the result of a blessing, because there are times doing the right things brings persecution. And here's what I want you to get through what I'm talking about. You being in right relationship will bring both blessings and persecution. Now, you cannot leave that one alone. It happens. And you might think when you get persecuted, well, I'm doing something wrong. And that's good to examine yourself and find out if I got anything that I'm doing wrong. But when you start looking, no, I'm just trying to live according to the Word of God. And here's what happens to too many people. The enemy, through the teaching of the faith message a lot of times, where we're talking about do this and God's blessing is here, and then we do this and God's blessing wasn't there and we feel like persecution came. What we do is we get really frustrated because the prize, the reward, wasn't what we thought it would be. I want to challenge you with something tonight. Don't ever turn and blame God. He told us this was going to happen. Wait, it shouldn't happen. I should just have the reward. If your reward is all based on physical and mental things, and I'm just waiting for that reward, and that's the reward that I'm standing on, that's what I'm standing on, then when persecution or something happens that you don't like the way it turned out, you never really got a hold of the principle that the reward is Jesus. If the reward is Jesus, then when persecution comes, you can withstand the persecution because you still have the reward. I think that'll just, maybe you have to rewind that if you're listening to this on podcast over and over again. But the physical rewards, once they're removed and you're in relationship, even when persecution comes, you're still in relationship. Wherever you are, you still have him. And if you always know that Jesus is a reward, you'll never be shipwrecked. So I want to encourage somebody tonight. Kingdom life was meant to be lived relationally. That's what you got to always know. Because this life, there's many troubles. But take heart. I've overcome the world. So if we're standing on that, if he's overcome the world, I want to be on side of who's overcome the world. How do you get on his side? You get in that and you're introduced to it all in a relationship. Jesus is showing here the dangers of trying to culturally show that you're in right standing. You're not culturally in right standing. You are relationally in right standing. And so, I'll say, this is tough. I mean, as a Christian, it's almost impossible not to do spiritual things in front of others without wondering what their opinion is about you. It's just almost impossible. I mean, I have just felt impressed to pray for somebody in Walmart. And I'm like, oh, but somebody's going to walk by and see me, and this is not going to be good. I've been impressed to do something. And it's a lot easier in church, but even in church sometimes it's hard. Man, I just don't know. I just don't know. I want to do something spiritual. And it's not always prayer. Maybe it's just giving them something. Maybe it's an encouragement in something. Maybe it's saying something that you feel like God told you to say. And you're like, I don't know if I can, because what if somebody hears me? And it's hard to do as a Christian spiritual things in front of others without wondering what they're going to think. But you've got to get to a place in your Christianity that you're not doing it for someone else. You're doing it for him. Now, you're still careful about what others are seeing, because they are going to have a response. But what your care is that their response is seeing Jesus, not you. So what we've got to do is we've got to get this point. Do you want a reward? And we understand that our reward is Jesus. Do you want the reward from God? Or are you more concerned about the reward being from man? Because do I want the reward from man or do I want the reward from God? Let me tell you what's not in question here. That when you are a Christian, when you're doing and trying to do it God's way, you are giving. You're giving. So there's no question here whether or not you should give or not. That's not. And there's no question of whether or not you'll be rewarded. The question is, do you want it from man or do you want it from God? That's what this scripture is talking about. Everyone patting you on the back, I like that. I'll just tell you, my personality is such that, good job, Pastor. And you pat my head, you pat my back. Man, that was awesome. And I'm just telling you, whatever it was, it may not have been a sermon. It might have just been this. I saw that. I did this. And I'm like, And you get, here's what happens though. If your motive is to get a reward from man, oftentimes you just keep asking, you'll get it. You just keep looking for it. Somebody, all right. I mean, I just keep begging my wife and finally say, yeah, it was good. You have to know, well, that kind of takes something away and then it's quickly gone and I lost it here and I lost it there. Got the reward. But what I want you to know, wanting a reward for man is always quickly gone. But getting a reward from God is eternal. And that means it lasts forever. And you've heard it said, live by the praise of men and you'll die by the praise of men. Be really careful that you don't seek man's applause. Now, Matthew 6, verse 1, and I'm talking about kingdom things here. Matthew 6, verse 1, watch out. This verse, this word in a study, a word study, would be take heed, be aware, beware. Be careful, and it doesn't mean just once. I forget how you say it in English, plurative or whatever. It means it's happening all the time. Watch out, not just one time, but watch out all the time. And I started thinking about that. The more you mature, the less you ought to have to watch out for this, and that's exactly wrong. The more I study this, I'm like, the more you mature, the more you need to watch out. Because this word means live watching out all the time. Live being aware all the time. This is something you got to be aware of at all times. We are always in a position of falling into the trap of doing righteous deeds to be seen. Now, you might go, well, not me. The longer you walk with Him, the longer you are a Christian and you're maturing, the more acts of righteousness that you start having in your life. Not the acts don't make you righteous, but the more you grow in your relationship with Jesus, the more you start acting like Jesus, and the more you look like you're doing the right thing, and the more you get seen, and you get seen more and more. And why he's saying watch out and continually watch out is because the more you mature and grow in the Lord, the more you're going to do, and the more it's going to be a danger for you to hear man's applause. Now, doing the good work, doing the deeds that are good, we've got to have righteous motives. God cares about your motive. And that's what all of Matthew 6, 1 through 4 is. It's talking about your motive. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. See, Jesus is condemning the motive behind a deed, not condemning the deed. You have to hear that. Well, I'm just not going to do anything because someone might see it. I'm just not going to give. I'm not doing any of that. No, he's saying, I want you to do good work. I want you to do good things, but I want you to be careful that your motive is right. It's just very important that your motive is correct. Proverbs 27, 21, a principle here. Fire tests the purity of silver and gold, but a person is tested by being praised. Ooh. There's a tough verse. How do you handle praise? Have you heard it said, man, don't say anything, it'll just go to their head? Well, go ahead and say it. If it goes to their head, they failed the test. See, we still got to do the good deed. Our responsibility as a Christian is to make sure that we're passing the test. I want to talk about another little point here. The difference between reward and salvation. Because a lot of people look at salvation as a reward, and it's not. God offers the lost salvation. And to faithful followers, he offers rewards. Now, we cannot get these two confused. Salvation is a free gift. Everybody nod like you got, I agree with that. You didn't do anything to get it except for accept. I mean, your part is accepting what he did. It was free for you. And I could go through a lot of scripture. I think you know all of them. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Now everybody gets that, but the free gift of God. It's free. The free gift of God, that's not Ashley's words, that's right out of the New Living Translation. Free gift of God's eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. That's enough just to know salvation is free, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time. However, a lot of people don't realize this, you can earn rewards. Now, obviously, we understand the rewarder. But part of being a Christian, here's some of the rewards. Matthew 10:42. If you give even a cup of cold water to one of the least of my followers, you will surely be rewarded. There's rewards. Luke 19:17. Well done, the king exclaimed. You're a good servant. You've been faithful with the little. I entrusted to you, so you'll be governor of 10 cities as your reward. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we, God's people, we do it for an eternal prize. There's an eternal reward for running the race. There are rewards for doing it God's way. Salvation's a present possession. Rewards are something that we're earning. We're earning for this life and for the life to come. Some will be dispensed at the second coming of Jesus. Mansions, talks about mansions. I like the house we're living in, but I don't think it's compared to the mansion that he went away to prepare for me. I mean, really, I believe that. And so I think that there's some rewards, and I think when you get to heaven, there's going to be some rewards. There's a lot of things. I think the biggest deer I've ever been able to lay my eyes on will not happen until I get to heaven. Just my thought. I don't have a biblical background. This is just Ashley's opinion. But I don't even know if there are deer in heaven. I know there's a lion and there's a lamb. But I mean, there's, so don't be quoting me biblically here. I'm just saying, I have a thought that there's going to be some eternal rewards. I don't know what they all are, but I'm looking forward. So I've not seen, I get all of that. I can only manufacture it from my own inability to think at this stage in life. But see, he already saved us. Praise God for that. That was free, but the rewards are earned. Are you getting this? Yeah. It's important. You don't earn salvation, but you do earn rewards. I could also say that by being saved, you will receive persecution. I don't think it's an earned thing. I just think it's in a fallen world trying to do the right thing. And right now, if you just tried to run for office as a Christian, you're going to get persecuted. Come on, we can see the persecution that's having for those that are out in public eye. I want to talk about rewards, not persecution. However, I need you to know both come so you don't flip out when you're doing the right thing and get what you would consider the wrong result. The wrong result is not always a reward for here. You could get a wrong result here and be persecuted here, which will produce a reward in the afterlife. And so let me just make that statement. We, as God's people, have to fight in our mind. And me as a preacher do. I have to fight this. Teaching about the reward and getting people caught up on doing the right thing for the reward. As parents, do we not say, if you'll act good, I'll get you a popsicle later. I'll get you, we'll go stop by and get some ice cream if you'll behave. I don't know if anybody's ever said, if you'll do this, here's what I'm getting ready to do. And you set yourself up for your child to receive reward for doing the right thing. I'm not here to condemn that. I think there are some things that as we look, I mean, just with the tithe and offering in Malachi, try me in this, that I won't open the windows of heaven. That's kind of, I can receive that. So I'm not here to say that you shouldn't receive the reward and that you shouldn't even look forward to some of the reward. I'm not, but it all has to come under the reward of the relationship. Now, your striving should be to be with Him. All about giving, all about doing, this scripture is all about doing it with the correct motive. Giving is for sure in there. The Bible doesn't say if you give, it says when you give. The Bible doesn't say for a Christian, if you pray, Christian. No, it says when you pray. There's an expectation you as a Christian should be a giver. So I'm not getting into that. But what I'm saying is, as a Christian, when you do that, there are some things as a Christ follower that you've got to know, you've got to make sure you're in the right heart. He wants us to give because that's the Father's heart for us. But you've got to work on, and I've got to work on, getting to a place where I learn the disciplines of giving. And one of the disciplines is not giving being seen. Well, I didn't tell anybody, but I bragged on it to my wife. You got to get to a place where you eventually get the benefit of giving in your heart, that the benefit is the reward from God, which comes in a spiritual nature oftentimes, and sometimes in the life to come, and not get caught up on what everybody else is going to see and what opportunity it will provide for you. I'm going to talk about that more here in a moment. John 14, verse 13. You can ask anything in my name and I'll do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Jesus says, anything in my name. I've studied this scripture my whole life, but you know, it just brought it to my attention this week that this was Jesus talking to the disciples right here. He didn't share that to everybody that was following him with the fish and loaves. He shared those that had given everything up to follow him. That was the ones who had matured to a place to say, I'm here with you, Jesus. I'm here with you. And I want you guys to know, that's what Jesus was saying. Hey guys, I want you all to know, you guys ask anything in my name. You've sacrificed everything that you are. Everything that you were going to do, and you've said, I'm committed to following you. You know, a lot of people commit to Jesus, and their first entrance is just so they won't go to hell and they get to go to heaven. And if that's all the reason you get saved, that's a good one. But Jesus isn't saying this to the multitudes. He's talking to those that have surrendered everything that they were to him. See, the degree in which we sacrifice for him will be the degree in which you're rewarded from him. That's a really big deal. A right sacrifice with a right motive will experience a right reward. Now, there are physical rewards that come from doing the right thing. There are physical rewards, but there's also soul rewards, and we're three-part beings. So there are soul rewards, your mind, will, and emotions, peace, joy, love, mind energy, mental strength, if you will. Things that you can't have without the blessings of God. I mean, I've talked to a lot of Christian people that are just mentally, they're just worn. Well, let me just tell you, there are rewards that are available for being mentally worn. And if you'll get in your word and you'll get powered up and you'll start praying in the spirit, you'll find what'll start happening in a very short order. You just feel yourself recharged, just like somebody plugged a battery into a battery charger and it's plugged into a power source. The next thing you know, it's charged up and it's ready to go again. We got to charge ourselves up. But know this, all of that comes by doing the right thing to get charged. See, health can be a reward. We're to live an intimate relationship with Him. Health can be a reward, but you've got to be very careful that you don't get caught up on just walking in health as the reward and missing the relationship. I've got to continue to go back there because so many are believing God for a health situation and they're distraught when health didn't come the way we thought it would. And I understand that because I struggle in my mind. Well, what about this? Well, just don't lose the reward is actually Jesus. And we've got to understand that. The reward is Jesus. Because if you forget that, then when everything gets stripped away that you thought was coming and you're finding persecution and everything in this life gets stripped, when the reward is Jesus, you can understand that there's a reward in the next life. And that's what you live on. We can still live intimately with Him even if every physical reward was stripped. If we see Jesus, are you seeing that? If we see Jesus as the reward, then we can handle anything. Now, Jesus, is more concerned with the secret place than He is the public place. People give lots of money to get their name on something. And time's gone by quite a while, and I'm just going to share a little story without names. But more than once, I have been asked to have a little meeting, and someone said, and it was during the building of this gym, that someone was willing to donate a large sum of money. And I believe that sum was somewhere around half the cost that it was going to be to build this gym. All we had to do was put a name out on the front of it that says in memory of or in honor of, and put this name. And they said, what would you say to that? And I would say, I'm a little concerned. I said, I appreciate the offer, but if the offer for building the kingdom of God comes with a name on something, I just have a question. I said, if I say no, are you still willing to give that money? And they said, no. And I said, then I'm not interested. Thank you, but no thank you. Pastor, are you kidding? You turned down that. I did. I sure did. And here's why. Because if all of it was stripped away and it wasn't giving, then it wouldn't have been with the right motive and it would have caused more harm than help. I'll give if a name's put on. See, the heart's quickly revealed. If we're giving to bring attention to ourselves or our will, it wasn't their name they were wanting to put on it, but it was their will that they wanted to dictate exactly what was going to be done with it. I just said, okay, here's the thing. You're given that to produce something for yourself. And that to me, I understood I was dealing with somebody that didn't understand that, and I was very gracious, and I'd just rather not, and I tried to bow out of that without causing a lot of harm. But see, that to me, that's the picture of hypocrisy. And hypocrisy happens in immaturity. But Jesus uses hypocrite a lot in these passages. And He is saying, don't be like them. Don't be like them. Hide your right hand from your left. If He calls you to be blessing to someone, then bless them. Do it quickly and then move on. Do it quickly and forget that you did. Don't spend too much time, let me just say, don't let your right hand know what your left doing. Don't spend too much time patting your own back because your left hand's watching. See, don't let them know so they don't even know. I gave here and left hand didn't even know what was happening. Now, that's in your own body, but that can also be in the body of Christ. It doesn't say not to do it. Praise God, do it. Just don't do it with the wrong motive. And here's another question that I wanted to answer tonight. What if I give, Pastor, and someone finds out or tells someone what I did? Do I lose the reward? The issue is not about you keeping someone from finding out. The issue is about your heart and the motive in what you did. See, the issue is your motive. It's what's inside of you. God sees your heart. You're not hiding that from Him. So don't worry about what someone else sees or don't. In that sense, what I'm talking about, be concerned about what God sees. If you give for the glory of God, then your reward remains. When a man gives, the world asks, what did he give? I'm just saying, when someone gives, well, what did they give? God asks, how did he give? How did he give? Now, the examples in Mark 12, lady walks in with two coins, less than anyone else probably gave. But it was way more wow. It was way more wow. And I don't have time to read all of it and get into all of that, but it was way bigger than what the others gave. Now, bigger in the sense of how, not what. Jesus saw it different. See the heart behind it. Had someone else gave 2,000 coins and she gave two, man would have applauded. But Jesus didn't applaud the amount, applied the heart behind the amount. She gave everything she had. I mean, if you don't know the story, go read Mark 12. But Jesus was applauding the heart and Jesus was the applauder. Let Jesus applaud you. Don't look for man's. Your motivation in giving has to be examined. And just know this, it is examined because God knows it.
That's right.
God knows it. You're not fooling anybody. It's fine to desire and want a reward, but you should want the reward because it's him that gave it. And I just was thinking, how do you say that, Ashley? I just kept running that through my mind. Because it was from him. I'm just telling you, there are things that have been given to me and they're really special. Because my grandfather gave them to me. Or because my mom gave them to me. And I can even say, there are things that are real special because my grandkids gave them to me. And they hang on my refrigerator. And I just think about that. See, a reward that you get should be recognized as an appreciation because of who gave it. He gave it to you. And you don't appreciate that if you're just looking at the reward. But if you're looking at him, you sure can appreciate that reward. And so I just wanted to make sure, and I know I've pounded that point in, and I've got a little side note here because I know that I'll get this question. Can you demand a reward? Am I in a place to demand a reward? Because I hear a lot of teaching on this. I hear faith teachers teaching on, you can make a demand on that. And you've heard that anytime at all. Well, when the reward is from him, and I know that it's mine because he promised it to me, then I've got him with me in the demand. So I'm not demanding from per se him. He's on my team. We're demanding together. He does his part. I do mine. Now, how do you say that, Pat? I only demand that which God is demanding with me.
Yeah.
I'm on his team.
Yeah, that's right.
I demand you come out of this man. Yeah. There's an evil spirit. You can make a demand on an evil spirit because God's got the Holy Spirit in me, empowers me to do what God would be doing, and I'm a part of his body, and I'm making a demand as part of the body of Christ, which means Christ is making the demand. Are you getting this?
Yeah.
I'd love to spend a lot more time there, but I hope I just answered that question for any of you that come up to me afterwards. So that's not just a disclaimer, but you're right. There are things you can make a demand. Is that a reward? Yeah, there are rewards you can make a demand on, and the reward, if you're demon-possessed, would be to get rid of a demon possession. However, that's not a reward for the person. That's a reward for the person, the Spirit of God, to then put them in a place that they could then receive.
Yeah.
The Spirit of God. There's so much here. I want to end with a couple of quotes. See, the Father gave us so many gifts, so many things, and so much to think about. Charles Spurgeon, I love what he said. Keep the thing so secret that even you yourself are hardly aware that you're doing anything at all praiseworthy. Let God be praiseworthy, and you'll have enough of an audience. Woo, I like that. The best part of Christian work is really only the part that God sees. Another great quote, before the judgment seat of Christ, My service will not be judged by how much I have done, but how much of me there was in it. See, it's not about so much the deed. You're going to do it. But are you in it as a representative of Jesus and to continue to build that relationship? And then the overflow is the rewards, and obviously you earn them. And I want what's coming to me. Huh, that's a tough statement, isn't it? Praise God, we don't get what we deserve. We got a free gift. In that free gift, it put us in line for a bunch of rewards that we can earn. But don't earn a reward separate from aiming at the kingdom. Don't miss the king.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.